Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's 85. 85?
A weighty hive.
A weighty hive.
The bees have been busy. There's honey aplenty and the hive is weighty. Hello, and welcome to Bud Pod.
A weighty hive indeed. Yes, a weighty hive, staying alive. 85. We're recording this a little early, everyone, so that's why our two households are mixing indoors.
That's right. On the day you're hearing this, London will be 4 or 5 days into its tier 2 high level lockdown.
Maybe even it will go up.
Maybe it's tier 3 by this point.
We're recording this on Thursday, and it's all kicking off on Saturday. They've gone, get your disease spreading in before it all shuts down.
But at least they've not fucking gone Monday, so everyone goes fucking mental on the weekend. I mean, it's only taken them 7 months to learn to figure it out, not to give people a weekend to cram it all in.
Yeah. Guys, we're all going to quit drinking on Monday. Right, guys? On Monday. So you'd better make the most of this chance.
But I hope you all are doing okay. Pierre and I here in the past on Thursday, I just have just been really enjoying, because we love to cancel watch. And well, basically we were at dinner last night and Pierre looked at his phone. And he looked at me and he said, I'll give you £20 if you can guess who Twitter is trying to cancel now.
Because, dear listener, if you missed this, I could not believe it. I couldn't believe it. It was Malala.
I got it in the end. It took me about 5 minutes, but eventually went, Malala Yousafzai? And Pierre went, yep, you got it.
Malala. Malala.
It's of course very hack to say something is completed or we've completed something.
Yeah.
But we've completed Twitter.
Yeah. Once you've cancelled Malala, and Twitter fell to its knees and wept, for there were no more people to cancel. What's amazing is that the whole point of cancelling is someone is kind of like.
We should probably say what her offence was.
Oh, yes, of course. So if you're wondering what Malala did to be cancelled, we're not all shocked because it was something worth doing. She did she put up a Facebook status, like on her personal Facebook, I think, or I don't know. But basically, one of her friends at Oxford University, where she's studying, you know, after being shot in the head by the Taliban.
And recovering.
And recovering.
And the bits of her brain that was left was still smart enough to go to Oxford.
Someone shot her in the head and she went to Oxford. Imagine if she hadn't been shot in the head. She'd be running the world immediately. And we'll probably end up, to be fair, running at least part of the world.
She's an X-Man.
Part
of her brain was blown out and her career now is her brain. That's how powerful her brain was.
It's insane. She's like Storm.
She won.
No, not Storm. Who's the one who's also psychic? Who Laser Eyes is always in love with?
Cyclops. Oh.
Jean.
Jean Grey.
Jean. She's like Jean Grey.
That's right. Yeah, most people win the Nobel Prize before they lose part of their brain.
Yeah.
But she lost part of her brain and then became the youngest ever Nobel Prize winner.
Yeah, after. Anyway, this incredible person of indomitable will put up a Facebook status saying, hey, my friend Bifton is running to be head of the Conservative Association of Oxford University, like the student one. Please vote for my friend Bifton.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That was it. That was what was wrong. She knew someone. She's not even in the Conservative Association. So everyone was like, Malala's a Tory. Can't believe Malala's a hashtag Tory.
I saw someone trying to calm everyone down saying, well, she's just supporting her friend. And someone commented on that she's supporting a Tory. And it's like, yeah, for the Tory society. It's not like she's not even saying support the Tories against, in the election, yeah, or against someone who's not Tories.
Yeah.
Support this Tory in favor of the other Tories.
Why can't she support a member of Labour to be in charge of the Tory party? That would be better. But I guess it's that thing of like, oh, don't be friends with a Tory, never kiss a Tory, da 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 da. It's like this kind of weird...
This is purity politics.
Was literally like, it's the closest thing to it is like Amish shunning. Like, dude, if you commit an offense in the Amish community, they just all won't speak to you, and you have to, and you go insane.
Yeah.
From loneliness. I mean, it works as a tactic, but to see it applied to Malala...
That's incredible. I mean, it's the British far left are operating a policy akin to the one drop rule in racist purity. America.
But that's like
if you have one drop of Tory touch you, you're basically all Tory.
Well, that's what's funny is that the whole point of burning a witch because they aren't pure is to hide the fact that you aren't pure, because no one is. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who are like, there's a lot of people who are like high up in the Labour Party, for example, whose parents were like Labour activists in the 70s, and whose like grandparents were like union activists in the 30s, and they're like genetically pure. They're almost like aristocrats.
Mm-hmm.
Like my family have been fighting for the working man for a terribly long time. So they have sort of have an argument about being pure, but then the rest of us, it's like, well, yeah, you've got like an elderly relative who's right wing who you don't abandon during coronavirus. It's like, well, how dare you? You know, none of the people trying to cancel, and I'll say it again, Malala.
Just in case you missed it.
Malala!
Just in case you thought you misheard.
Ah! That none of them are pure either. And when the mob comes for them.
Oh, yeah. It's bloodbath.
Oh.
But I mean, if the far left can cancel a Nobel winning Muslim woman who campaigns for the education of girls in the developing world,
yeah,
there's no. I'm almost impressed because there's no. They proved there's no one we can't try and do this.
Do you think it was like?
There's no one. Is there no introspection that all these people, these far lefties, go? They're all so dumb. They don't even go. Well, if Malala can get cancelled, I guess I could. Because I've done far, far less.
I think they. But then again, it's all about inaction, isn't it? They go. It doesn't matter if you've never done anything to help anyone, as long as your thoughts were always pure.
That's it.
Because if they cared about that, they'd care about winning elections, and they manifestly don't. Because winning an election, you go, oh, there's so many people who don't get paid enough. You go, okay, well, win the election, and then you can change that. No, because that would mean compromise. And you go, okay, so then those people will stay poor then. Yeah. And it'll show the world how bad it is. And you go, well, I'm pretty sure they'd prefer the money, but okay, that seems fine. It seems like a fun option for them, for you to have done that. Yeah, they don't care. They go, they would rather... billion young non-white women in the developing world remain illiterate than Malala be friends with a single conservative.
That's really it, isn't it?
At Oxford, they go, I would rather they never... Because if they learn to read, they'll only use it to read her Facebook update and they'll be as angry as me, I assume. Malala.
There's another strain of these fucking lunatics' conspiracism is that... Oxbridge as institutions are so right-wing that someone like Malala can go into Oxford and be turned into a Tory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You go there and people surround you going, hey, like, Tory party, Tory party. And then there's a big cauldron and Margaret Thatcher's there. She's still alive. They've just kept her hidden. She kisses everyone on the forehead and they go, and their eyes do that spinny, like, you know, Batman thing. And they suddenly go, free markets. That's it. That's the. And you graduate. That's the graduation ceremony from Oxbridge, as you and I know. That's what happened to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why we're brainwashed into whatever it is. Whatever it is we're supposed to do. I don't know. Hunt the homeless for sport.
But it's. I'm. I can. I can. I'm always amazed by the capacity of people who have done literally nothing with their lives to criticize someone who's done an unfathomable amount in their lives. I think if you've done nothing in your lives, you're not allowed. You shouldn't be able to comment on someone who's done something.
Yeah,
I think you shouldn't be able to comment on like Robert Mugabe if you've just sat in your room tweeting about socialism. I think you know you have to at least you have to commit some action in life somehow.
Yeah,
to be a valid member of society.
If your Twitter name is just Stalin Bay 69. You don't get to shitpost about Malala. You don't get to simultaneously be like, it's outrageous that Malala has a friend who is in the student Tory society and she would like her friend to do well in that. And then to be like, Mao did nothing wrong.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You can't cancel Malala and uncancel Mao or Stalin when there's like documentary evidence of, you know, massacres and camps, and to just go, no, that's just the price of wonderful progress. And then a Malala Facebook status has you bleeding from the eyes all weekend. I can't believe it. You're right, though. It's like, it's almost impressive. It's like they got together and they're like, we're finally going to do it. The big one. The biggest heist of all. Like Fort Knox, right? They said it couldn't be done. Escape from Alcatraz. We're going to cancel the one person. People would never think.
Ladies and gentlemen, and then he whips off a sheet off a canvas.
Yeah.
I present to you the big one, and it's just a photo of Malala.
Everyone gasps, and they've got a whole gang together. They've got like the little nimble guy who's good at climbing in through vents. They've got the diamond specialist. They've got the safe cracker. They've got the explosives guy. They've got the con man, the handsome con man. They're all there. Yeah, what's the way in? No way in. We just straight up cancel her. It's the last thing they'll expect. Well, what's her weakness? What she's done? Oh, nothing. Nothing. That's why they won't be expecting it. You're crazy. I should never have agreed to this. And they will try and walk out.
We're going
to
walk right in the front.
Yeah. We're going to walk right through the door. And they're going to let us. Yeah, exactly. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
But this, like I was saying this last night, this must mean that cancelling is over.
It's over. It's the snake has finally eaten itself.
Because if someone tries to cancel someone, then they can just go, well, they did this to Malala.
Yeah.
Who cares? They did this to Malala. So
you know what's really interesting? It's the penny's finally starting to drop. You know that SNP MP who was caught taking a train across from London to Glasgow knowing she had COVID?
She had COVID symptoms, and I think it was even worse. She did something like go from Scotland to London, London to Glasgow, and then also spoke at a Catholic mass.
Right, yeah.
There were reports on Twitter. I saw that there was an eyewitness. I probably look that up. Anyway, yeah.
This is the SNP mind, so I don't care how sassy Nicola Sturgeon is, but they fucked up just as much as the Tory party has in England. They're just a bit sassier about it.
Yeah.
But she's now said, and everyone's like, she has to quit.
Yeah.
And I was watching, reading the story like, hey, I wanted to phone her up and say, hey lady, don't quit.
Yeah.
There's no need to. And then a few days ago, she's come out saying, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
And I just thought, here it is. The penny's finally dropped.
Yep.
People now know this shit lasts for 3 days max.
Yep. Dominic Cummings.
Dominic Cummings was the longest. That was about a week.
Yeah. That was the longest because he's the most high profile.
Exactly.
And even he could just be like, no.
Yeah. People realize now people can do fuck all. People can't do anything. They no one can do anything. You can't change anything.
Anything. And then like in 4 years, there'll be an election and they'll go, remember when? And everyone will go, no.
Yeah.
And all the people, like if you're trying to take away votes from the SNP, it'll be like, remember when she sneezed in your grandma's mouth? And they'll go, well, she would have wanted a free Scotland. And that'll be it.
Yeah, she said Scotland when she sneezed. Scotland like that.
Yeah.
And that's good enough for me.
She cried freedom and coughed in Nana's mouth. And Nana went, Nana was singing the Flower of Scotland until her ventilator was turned off. So that's it. That's my vote. Gone.
But that's a Malala moment as well.
Yeah, I'm just like, going.
I think Penny will drop now, and everyone can go, oh, I can be a free thinking member of society and do as I please. And even if some people try and build up some shit against me, it'll last 3 days, max.
It used to. It's funny, isn't it? Because the problem now is that no one ever resigns. And Theresa May was a good example. But there were literally like 10 or 11 moments where in history the Prime Minister would have resigned.
Mm-hmm.
And she just didn't.
Right. There
were like 11 moments where it's like, this is literally when, you know, so-and-so resigned. Like an actual...
Well, like what?
Well, like completely losing the confidence of Parliament.
Oh, yeah.
Calling a failed election. Having your own party rebel against you and losing again. Losing again. Losing again. Losing a fifth time. Like, on and on and on. Having your own cabinet briefing against you. Having to replace your... Like, it goes on. The hostile environment, which you started when you were Home Secretary, and then now you're just blaming Amber Rudd. Resign. Mm-hmm. Resign. 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 They've deported a bunch of British people because they're black, and they've just gone, you look like you're from Jamaica. Go die in fucking Jamaica. And they go, no, please. And they just deport them. Resign. She never did. She just went, no, I have a job to do.
Yeah.
But that's the problem, is that on one end, there's politicians learning that they never have to resign, even though it used to be that they would at least have to.
Mm-hmm.
And then that has gone up. Not resigning is shooting up in the sky on the graph. And on the other end of the graph is how often they're asked to resign.
Right, yeah.
So it's like it's a toxic cycle.
It's inflation.
Yeah.
It's a bloated market.
Yeah. So it would be like... The Tories have done this, resign. And they can just go, like, the more you ask them to, the less power that a request has, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And the more they say no, the more they underline the fact that they don't have to care what you think.
Yep.
So it's a toxic cycle, whereas it used to be that...
And it just becomes noise now, asking people to resign.
Yeah, everyone's asked to resign constantly. And as you say, I mean, Nicola Sturgeon asked that woman to resign.
Yeah.
The head of her own party.
Mm.
That's big.
Yeah.
Boris Johnson did not ask Dominic Cummings to resign publicly.
Mm-hmm.
This is the equivalent of if he did and Dominic Cummings was like, still no, I'm coming to your house to work for you, whether you like it or not.
I think only politicians can say, I can't quit my job. I have my job to do. But imagine, it's such perfect circular logic, and you kind of go, yeah, I guess fair enough. Wait, what?
You're a terrible window cleaner. You're fired. Oh, yeah? Well, who's going to clean the windows? Well, not you. Me, exactly. Me. But you don't clean the windows, don't I?
Well, not if I quit. And they're like, oh, shit,
not if
right.
You fire me. Oh, fuck. Well, I'm going to start a petition of recall in your constituency to get you fired, like for an MP. And it's like, oh, the constituency who elected me. And the petition of recall needs like, whatever it is, 60%, 80% of constituents to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Some really high number.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to get that.
Yeah.
One of the only times in history that worked is when that Labour MP from East Anglia crashed her car, did like fraud and claimed her brother was driving the car or whatever. That's like one of the only times in history enough people have signed the thing.
Oh, right.
Get fucked, we're having a by-election. Never works. Because by definition, the winning MP has loads of local support.
Sure.
Malala.
Yeah, so basically if Podbuds ever say Bud Pod has gone too far and it has to stop, we will say we can't stop doing Bud Pod because then who will do Bud Pod?
Who will do Bud Pod if you get rid of us? Eh?
If you destroy Bud Pod, how is Bud Pod going to keep going? And you'd go, oh yeah, they're right.
Yeah. And then we can say, you know, they did this to Malala.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they tried this with Malala. And from now on, actual crazy right-wing people who do need to go away can just use Malala.
Mm-hmm.
They have that forever now. They can just go, yeah, well, Malala, you tried to do this to her, and now I'm like her.
That's right.
Now I'm like Malala. They'll say, Katie Hopkins will say that within a month. I fucking guarantee it. Some lunatic fascist will say that within a month, and they've been given that gift by someone called Leon Thotsky on Twitter. Some stupid prick with a hammer and sickle emote has given them this incredible gift.
Yeah.
Like how the anti-Semitism in Labour has given Tories an excuse to vote for an institutionally racist party forever.
Mm-hmm.
You can say to the Conservatives, your party's institutionally racist. And they go, yeah, well, so is Labour. And everyone...
More officially so.
Even more officially so, because they're investigated. And We refuse to investigate ourselves, and we're still going to vote for us, because you did. Bye. You said it was for the greater good. Well, we're going to say that too. Obviously, we're going to say that. We believe what we believe. It's amazing the amount of presence that Boris Johnson has been given this year in terms of rhetoric, available rhetoric. Maybe he'll say something about Malala. I wonder if it'll get that far. I bet if Boris Johnson was smart, he'd release a statement going, she's always welcome in our party.
yeah.
And really exactly. Stir the fucking pot.
Exactly.
Ugh.
That'd be so funny. That'd be so great. Just piss everyone off.
Oh my God. The Tory MP for Oxfordshire, Malala. Like it becomes true, like a kind of curse. Because they all said it becomes true. Oh my God. Oh, Twitter. I hope it goes away and is deleted.
The Twitter?
Yeah.
All Twitter, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like at the end of Fight Club where they just blow up all those credit card towers.
Yeah.
But whatever, a digital version of that. I don't know what that would be. A volcano erupts and Silicon Valley just gets covered in lava. Just Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and just all these people. Like Pompeii.
Yeah. All the bodies they find in 1,000 years all holding a phone. Yeah. All crouched holding a phone.
Looking for updates. We think they were either trying to text their families or looking for updates.
Dude, archaeologists in thousands of years are going to find iPhones
everywhere.
It's not fucking crackers.
Well, it's funny. I mean, one of the guys who lectured us when I was doing my weird niche degree was like his whole thing was coins. He was the coin guy.
Eesh.
He's Johnny Coins.
No thanks.
Numismatist. He's a numismatist. And he was saying like, we have this many thousand silver coins from the Anglo-Saxon period. But someone had done a clever equation to work out how many coins they actually had in circulation. Because it used to be that they were so naive. They were like, well, we've only found 3 coins. I can't believe they only had 3 coins. And someone went, you know, we should probably figure out like how many coins there actually were. They're probably more than that. Like we could, maybe they even did something like based on how many coins we knew there were in the 1600s and how many of those we find.
Uh-huh.
Like I make that assumption. I don't know, but it was like thousands and thousands and tens, hundreds of thousands.
Uh-huh.
Like so many.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they'll have to find like 4 iPhones and there'll be one academic brave enough to go, everyone had one.
Right.
And someone will be like, it was only the elite who could have, probably some sort of CEO or Duke would have one of these.
What was called a Cheo, who was head of a company.
Cheo or Cheo, depending on the era. Who was the head of what they used to have, these things called companies, which were sort of like clubs or gangs, initially operating out of buildings, but then operating through what they would call the internet, which is a very crude metal version of the brain hologram we all share now.
Yeah, companies are sort of monetized versions of what we would now call fuck clubs, but instead of fucking in this the dome, they would exchange things and services that weren't fucking, not necessarily all the time, for something called money.
And money was originally shards of metal they found on the floor. And they would swap these pointless objects for sandwiches from somewhere called Pret. Pret comes up a lot. We think it was a good luck phrase carved into a lot of mat of metal into a lot of signs. In exchange, Pret would give them these sandwiches, which they would eat in a ritual above their keyboard in order to, we think, imbue the computer.
They believe they were feeding the computer with the crumbs that would fall. Yeah. It was a very primitive society.
Yeah. How would you explain so many of the jobs I think I mentioned this a few pods ago. Do you read that column Bullshit Jobs that became a book? I think we talked about this.
No.
Anarchist academic who died turned it into a book. He just wrote a column about how, like, most jobs, so many jobs now are just made up.
Right.
Or, like, the purpose of them is made up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that. Like,
oh, right.
The whole point is that John Maynard Keynes was like, well, we've invented machines to do loads of work. One computer is worth 100 secretaries.
Mm-hmm.
So working hours should go down to 30 a week by the 80s.
Yeah.
He predicted that before World War II.
Yeah.
So they're not, are they? Everyone's working more than they ever have.
That's right, yeah.
What's going on?
Fill in the gap.
Well, yeah.
Because I've got all this free time. Well, I guess I can make and sell more stuff.
I guess I'm a social media manager.
Yeah.
What's your job? And you go, I have to come up with jokes that are about Pepsi for the Pepsi Twitter and Facebook accounts for the UK and Ireland. That kind of thing. That's not a, you know.
No.
I was talking with my sister, and we were talking about how, have you ever seen that loads of those business seminars are about, like, how do we inspire our workforce?
Okay, yeah.
It's like, how do we inspire our workers?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I find something so funny about that.
The presumption that your workers need inspiring.
Well, if it's a company that just sells egg sandwiches, like, how do we inspire our workforce? You won't. You sell egg sandwiches.
Yeah.
You're not a hospital.
Just sell the sandwiches.
Sell them. But they're asking how to inspire people because they know that inspired people work harder.
Mm-hmm.
With not more money. E.g. nurses. So they're essentially how do we trick people into seeing my egg sandwich business as a vital part of, like, who they are and for the good of the community?
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, no, I'm going to stay another 3 hours working on the egg sandwich pitch.
Do we make up for the gap left by a pay rise everyone really needs? Can we pay them in inspiration instead?
Is there
and
a
make up for that shortfall in inspiration?
Yeah, we could get the budget from just one pay rise and use it to fill the break room with Kit Kats.
It's corporate mind tat. Tat of the mind is the future of tat.
That's right, it's the future of tat. This is a form of tat that you don't even need to hold in your hand. We should do like a Microsoft-style launch for mind tat. Both of us wearing really high-waisted chinos getting all excited.
Have you seen that video of the Microsoft guys going trying really hard to go crazy?
The Windows 98 launch. And they're like pumping their arms like when six-year-olds are at a disco.
And it's just you and me on stage going, whoop, just punching the air, doing star jumps. Mind tat.
Mind. Woo! Tat. Tat of the mind.
Woo! Woo!
Woo! Yeah, exactly. People who've never wooed.
Just Bill Gates in the back, not able to decide if he's clapping or dancing. Yeah. And he does a weird sort of side step shuffle and an occasional clap.
Yeah.
An occasional quiet, flappy clap.
They look so heavily medicated. They look tranquilized. They look like they've been shuffled on there by a keeper with a big pole with a stick on. It's so odd. Guys, I encourage you to look up the video. It's haunting. The modern equivalent is Mark Zuckerberg constantly talking about ribs in his weird garden.
That's really great, too.
Chilling.
Yeah. Really, really horrible.
I've never seen someone so pallid. He lives in California.
Mm.
But then there was that picture of him all...
Well, he's always on Facebook, isn't he?
Yeah, he's always indoors working on Facebook. There's a picture of him slathered in sun cream all on his face.
Yeah,
he looks like the Joker.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why he's so pale. He's incredibly interested in keeping himself pale.
Poor Fart Zuckerberg. Poor old Fart Zuckerberg.
What does he do with his money? Does he really just buy ribs and put them in a smoker?
There must be some pretty good ribs.
Buy an island, you know? At least Richard Branson has done the...
He must have an island.
Zuckerberg's gotta have an island.
There's got to be an island.
Welcome.
A secret one.
To Facebook Island.
Welcome to Like ba-ba-ba. Island.
Like Island. Just the sort of like Jurassic Park style music as they helicopter into an island shaped like a big thumb up. Big thumbs up emoji.
Yeah, the helipad's on the thumb. Yeah. Oh, no, I guess the mansion would be on the thumb.
Yeah. We're backing onto a big cliff.
Yeah.
You land on the pinky.
Yeah, the pinky knuckle.
To like Ireland, yeah. He must have an island. He's worth billions.
If you could buy an island, would you buy an island? Or one of those forts that they're selling now, the sea forts.
A sea fort. I might buy a sea fort. I think if you have the gall to become a billionaire these days, the least you should do is buy an island. I think you should give away at least £1 billion. And then you need to choose what kind of billionaire you're going to be, and you need to embrace it.
Yeah.
You're either going to be Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, giving money away to the point where people are obsessed with how you must be evil. Or be evil.
Yeah.
Richard Branson has gone, I'm Richard Branson. I'm the sort of prick who'd buy an island. So I'm going to do it. And I respect the consistency of that.
Yeah, but what makes Richard Branson all the more sinister is that he's also trying to... He's also attempting this sort of hippie, kind of floppy head everyman.
Yeah.
Who also has an island.
Yeah.
And so there's an air of, I'm just going back to nature, man.
Hey, everything's great here on this island. Why can't the world be like that? Yeah, a bit of sort of weirdly naive. Or he's just really good at marketing, and in private, he's like, takes off his wig, and he's got like, he looks like Darth Vader when the helmet's pulled off. He's like, why won't these fools let me run their healthcare system? And he has to put on a big, like, fake teeth smile. Because his teeth are like proper, like, crazy fake ivory teeth.
Yeah, big old chompers.
Big old fake chomper.
To eat his competitors, of course.
To eat smaller companies.
Yeah.
If he eats a medium-sized CEO, he won't need to feed again for 3 weeks. He needs the island to sit and digest.
He just sleeps in his island in a nest. In a nest of Virgin train ticket stubs, just all 200 pounds each.
And the nest is, yeah, Virgin train ticket stubs that make the wicker basket under one of his fucking hot air balloons. Yeah, I think there's a point where you have to go, well, either I'm going to be a billionaire and I'm not, and a billionaire should have an island.
Mm-hmm.
There are islands for sale off the coast of Scotland.
Ooh!
You could even have like a kind of spooky, rain-soaked Scottish island.
That'd be great, like a Dracula island.
Yeah.
I'd love a Dracula island.
You can go goth. You don't have to go Caribbean every time. You don't be the basic bitch of islands.
That's right. Would you, darling, would you come back with me to the island?
I have a little retreat. I wonder if you'd be interested in joining me there.
Hey, you guys want to come back to my place? I'm just going to get in a boat and weather these stormy seas and a couple of drinks of mine.
I pay a local pensioner £18,000 a year to be spooky in charge of the boat that goes to my island. He has a big beard because I've asked him to grow one. He has a little sailor's hat and an eye patch that he doesn't need and takes off as soon as we leave. But I won't tell my guests this. I want him to be like, ah, sir, you're back to the island then, are you, sir? Ah, good to see you. And then I want him to be like obliquely reference stuff to make my guests unnerved. There was another disturbance in the cellar, sir, but I took care of it. Thank you, William. And every guest go, sorry, there was a what? And I go, ne'er do you mind, laddie. Ne'er do you mind.
And yeah, he's laughing as they walk away from the boat. He's still in the boat.
Good to see you, laddie. Good luck. And he says something and it's taken by the wind. And my guests are like, what was he shouting? Yeah, and I go, oh, don't pay.
Just remember, keep your eye out for the... remember not to feed the...
What did that old man say? Oh, don't pay William any mind. He's just a local eccentric I've put to good use.
Yeah. It's just me and William on this island usually. It's wonderful to have guests.
He's not much of a one for talking. The long winter nights do drag when it's William and I. Yeah. So there we go. It's working out. Guys, if you just send enough money in the post to Bud Pod, we can buy a Bud Pod Island.
Yes. Can we do the first Kickstarter for an island? Buy Bud Pod an Island. Kickstarter.
Welcome to Bud Pod Island. This is how
the
time...
gate's just a huge, just a big old ass, and you walk through the anus into that's the port, and you walk. It's like the Colossus of Rhodes, but just a giant pair of bum cheeks. Ships have to sail in through the asshole.
Or like, yeah, those two giant statues in Lord of the Rings, they sail through that canyon. And it's just two people listening to podcasts. Just dwarfed by the statues. Do you think this
was the Colossus of Rhodes real?
I don't,
the
apparently.
Huge statue.
Apparently, but
sea.
I don't... think it could have been, could it?
But my theory is it was real, but
it was like three stories high.
Exactly, it wasn't tall.
Yeah,
it was huge to pathetic people, from 2,000 years ago.
People whose houses
who were impressed by, you know, a chicken.
People whose houses are made of mud.
Yeah,
if your house is made of mud, you're not going to have your head screwed on when you finally do see something made of not mud. You're going to come back and go, it was a million feet high. You know?
When you've owned one cup your entire life, you're going to think...
it's going to blow your mind.
An eight-foot statue is 20 stories high.
I used to think that going into cathedrals or even normal churches.
Mm-hmm.
If your house is made of mud, literally of wattle and daub, and you come in and there's like golden-coloured, multicoloured rainbow light coming through glass...
you'd be a fucking idiot not to believe God exists.
You'd be them so skeptical that people would be like, you're a moron, you're a fucking moron.
You'd be a lunatic.
Have you seen how high this thing is? There's a bell up there, you know?
There are materials and colours in this building that I didn't even know existed.
Yes. Yeah, there exactly.
Look at that colour. What is that colour? It's like blue and it's red?
What is that?
What is that? It's somehow in between.
You tell me what that is.
I really miss the days when just the color purple meant you were the like you
the
couldn't afford the color purple.
You're the richest man in the world. Did you ever read The Color Purple? We had to read it at school.
No, I didn't know it was a book.
Oh, it's a book. It's by Alice Walker, who is very sort of...
purple is my favorite color. I like it because it makes me feel happy.
Basically, that's a lot of the book.
Is it really?
Yeah, kind of. It was okay.
Is that the Spark right. Notes?
Yeah. Well, she was a very sort of... I think she's still alive, barely. She's very old now. She was very sort of woke for a while, and like you might put The Color Purple in a similar category to like To Kill a Mockingbird in terms of like books you make teenagers read to make them a bit more woke and chill about stuff. But then it turns out Alice Walker is a tremendous anti-Semite.
Right,
so
yeah.
So you go, okay, the Baptists got to you early on, did they?
It's a,
who killed Jesus?
It's a waterbed effect, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You
more
squeeze that
one
bit, it'll come up somewhere else.
Do you think everyone's got some kind of secret bigotry?
It's because we love to hate.
We love to hate.
We love to hate.
Imagine.
People will always hate each other, and they always say the purpose of society and civilization is to minimize
and regulate
the effects of that hate.
Yeah,
you can't try and get rid of it completely. You'll never be gone.
People will lose their minds. Well, if you try,
Pierre will always hate my mouth noises.
Oh yeah,
nothing. He can't be talked into liking my mouth noises.
It's true,
but. But I'm happy with the situation. It's a workable situation.
Yeah, well, as am I.
Yeah.
Because it's about regulation.
And compromise.
And compromise. And if you try and get rid of hate, then anyone who you think... it's like Twitter, isn't it? Anyone who you think does something that means that they might hate, then you go, well, we'll kill them then.
Yeah. I remember...
we're going to kill everyone who tries to make random mobs. We have to form some kind of mob to to do that, but you know.
I remember once seeing someone say... you know, tolerance is not enough. We keep saying we should practice tolerance. What we should practice is celebration. And it's like, no, stick with tolerance, because what you're saying is, we don't tolerate things, we celebrate things.
Mm.
Which means that further down the line, when someone finds something that they don't completely celebrate, then it's apt for destruction.
Yeah,
but you've split the world into things worth celebrating, things worth destroying.
Yeah, it's actually more binary.
It's way more dangerous. Tolerance means you don't have to be happy with the situation, but you have to live with it. And that's civilization in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's true. If someone goes, but I'm not happy, and they go, we didn't ask you to be fucking happy. We asked you to stay in your house.
Mm.
Tolerate it.
Mm.
Don't go looking for trouble. Yeah. celebration. It's that it's people who I think it's their own like thing they're projecting there.
As in
someone who's like, cheer up everyone, and everyone's fine. You go, well, it's you're sad.
Yeah.
You're constantly harassing people to be happy and celebrate things.
A lot of the times Twitter is someone talking to themselves in front of everyone.
Twitter is a guy on the bus.
Yeah.
I don't know. But now he's got a phone. Twitter, yeah. Twitter is someone yelling in the mirror, but in a crowded bathroom.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
And everyone going behind them talking about what this.
Yeah.
What did he say to the mirror?
What was the mirror? Well, I looked in the mirror and I was in there. He's talking to me. God, it's a nightmare. I was talking with comedian and I guess friend of the pod, Alex Keeley.
I don't consider him a friend of the pod, but you may, and I tolerate that.
Oh, fuck. I was talking with Keeley, and follow Alex Keeley on Twitter, guys.
He's very funny on Twitter.
He's very, very funny. On Twitter.
He's very funny on Twitter.
In life, he's a demon. very funny. Anyway, me and Alex were discussing how annoying it is when people are like, oh, but, you know, Twitter is just like when there were telegrams. I think this might be a bit of stand-up of Alex's as well, so apologies, but and no one think that I'm saying this. I'm quoting him, where he's like, he gets annoyed that people don't acknowledge how different something like Facebook and Twitter is.
To the phone.
Or like any historical precedent.
Yeah.
Go, well, this is just like when they introduced the telegram. And he's like, no, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's really different, and it's changing everything.
Yeah.
This isn't like, calm down. People used to freak out at moving pictures. And it's like, no. A 14-year-old from Devon woke up and used his phone on YouTube too much, and it made him go try and become a suicide bomber in a different country's civil war.
Yeah.
Because a beam of information flew into his mind and warped it.
Yeah.
From across the world instantly. It's different.
Yeah, social media is less akin to some great technological advance than it is to a brand new, highly addictive drug. It's drugs, not like moving pictures.
Yeah, it's not the car. It's cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
You have to treat it as a drug. So the answer is not for everyone to get used to the technology, but it's just regulation.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, it's not like, if we all just take cocaine for long enough, we'll all just get used to everyone being on cocaine.
Yeah, it won't feel special anymore.
Everyone will be very loud, they'll be talking very quickly, and then their hearts will explode.
And you have to go, no, it's chemically designed to feel special every time.
Yeah.
Every time feel special.
Inside your brain is a rat operating a lever. And the more that rat is tricked, the more trickable the rat becomes. The rat doesn't learn.
It doesn't get bored.
The rat never gets bored. The rat's constantly going, huh? What? Huh? Yeah? Whoa!
Yeah.
I played a game the other day, which is like, it was to play a sort of a group online game with some friends who have much older computers and worse internet.
Oh!
So we tried to pick a game that would work for everyone, right?
Okay.
And we picked this like
lo-fi,
64-bit MMO. So it's like massive multiplayer online.
And oh, yeah.
You've got like a little pixel character.
Yeah.
But it's really brilliant and detailed, but I'm not going to say what its name, because I've never felt the rat part of my brain being tickled more directly.
Just by this game mechanic.
Yeah, because you're going around and you're like fighting like skeletons in a dungeon to up your magic mana points, and like you can shoot spells and pick up loot and new swords and do quests and, you know, equip new helmets, and it's all got all the gear, like World of Warcraft kind of style.
It's fucking scary, man.
And as I was doing it, I could feel myself going, we played for like an hour or two, and then my friends were like, okay, I'm going to go to bed. And I was so close to going, yeah, I think I'm just going to stay on, I nearly got the crystal boots. I could feel it there, just going, yeah, maybe this is a nice way to relax after a long day.
Dude, I'm worried about getting there with online poker.
Because yeah.
The poker app that we use has like they've taken basic RPG mechanics and put it into real life money paying poker.
Yeah.
And like at one point like I had to put in money because I'd fucking lost everyone. So I had to put in money to be able to play some more. And like I got like points, like a green bar at the top went, you're almost at the next level. And I'd earned those points by just putting money in it.
Just feeding it.
I gained status points by being bad at poker.
Yes.
And I was
like,
ooh, then I'm doing well. And for a second, my mind just went, oh, I'm doing well. Because the green bar went, broop. And then I had to slap my fucking self in the face. You stupid fucking monkey. No, it isn't. This is terrible.
They gave you that grape because you lost the other grape.
It's fucking scary, man.
Or like the bar.
The gamification is so powerful.
Oh, man. The bar goes from like dark red to like almost green, like through yellow.
Mm.
You know when they do that fade?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm almost at green. Green is full health. Good. Red to danger bad.
Green is leaf. Green is leaf ready to eat.
Leaf safe. Hide yellow, inside leaves.
Yellow not good. Green better. Me make yellow green. Me pay to make yellow green. Me what? Doing good work.
Yeah. Money just numbers. Numbers nothing.
Numbers not green.
Color. Oh.
Terrible, man.
It's terrifying. It's like... The trouble is that we can't admit that we're not rational without admitting that loads of other stuff doesn't work, because like a lot of market economics is based on the idea that humans are rational,
mm-hmm.
and not easily tricked.
Uh-huh.
Whereas,
uh-huh.
it turns out, you know, so then it's kind of like we're pulling at a thread that does lead to places that people would rather it not go. Like all people going like, oh, we don't need to ban smoking. People can just decide. You know, no, there's enough rat brain people that we can't.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just let people have cocaine.
I mean
at what point is it someone's fault? That's what it is,
right?
At what point is it someone's fault that they went and bought 10 bottles of vodka and drank some?
As in, is it their fault or is it the
seller,
excellent vodka company's marketing?
Yeah. Or is it the fault of the fact that it's available at all? Is it the fault of the government for not stopping right. the, you know,
At what
point is it the fault of the individual?
Mm-hmm.
That's like so much of politics and your beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people like Priti Patel are just like, everything is the fault of every individual and therefore everything is justified. If you didn't want to drown in the sea, you shouldn't have gotten a boat that I sank. Like, it's just completely...
She lives by the fucking Assassin's Creed. Everything is permitted, nothing is forbidden. Yeah.
If you try and lunge at Priti Patel, she'll go shwing, and a big blade will shoot out from her cuff, and then she'll scale Parliament.
That's why she's got that smirk, because she knows if anyone comes at her, she'll just hidden blade them.
If you ever try and follow Priti Patel on a crowd, if she sits on a bench, she's gone. Can't find her.
Why is the idea of Priti Patel in an Assassin's Creed outfit so funny? Just a hood and
puts the hood up and climbs.
It would suit her. That's the thing.
It would suit her. And she climbs Big Ben.
Yeah.
There's a big glowing star on the top or whatever. Her smirk. Yeah.
She just leaps off buildings and lands safely in Boris Johnson's hair.
Fully hidden as he goes, as he walks around. Well, as we said, her smirk is the smirk of someone saying, did you think love would save you?
That's a very good line of yours.
It is the smirk of someone right before they use a magic spell to kill the boy. Kill the boy. You'd think that they would have like smirk training or something. They do pay for PR.
Yeah, she's obviously unfixable.
Yeah, you think they have a meeting with her and they go, all right, a lot of the feedback we're getting is that your entire thing is your face is evil.
And you take pleasure from the pain of others. And to be fair, it does look like that.
And it comes across.
It really does come across.
When you apologize, you said, I'm sorry if you think you need an apology. And then you did the smart. It was all bad, is what we're saying. We're really going to have to build this from the ground up. Smile as if you've just been given a lovely gift. Oh, God, no, not like that.
Smile with your eyes, not with your fangs.
Imagine the gift isn't someone's head. There you go. I just haven't, yeah, maybe it's, we're blaming the, you know, it's actually the fault of the kind of pictures people choose in the paper, which is an easy way to trick the public.
But watching footage of...
She does even look evil when she's speaking. And yeah. She's not a good speaker.
Yeah.
When she had to do that coronavirus briefing, do you remember how badly it went?
300,000. 208,503.
She read it out like Microsoft Sam. 30,000,200. But it's impressive, isn't it? To appear that incompetent and still seem evil.
Yeah, that's very evil.
It's very evil if you can be like, well, they're a bumbling fool, and I'm chilled to the core. That means your evilness is so powerful that even like minus 50 intimidation points from being bumbling, you're still at like full.
It's like being terrified of Barney Gumble.
Like the Chuckle Brothers. Duh. They're going to come and move all your stuff in your house. Yeah, Barney Gumble or like your old Gil.
Yeah.
Chilled to the core by Gil. I guess we've got a few American listeners. As we round this off, any thoughts on the... Have you been watching the election?
What election? What's going on?
I know. It turns out in New Zealand, they're having an election.
What I'm absolutely terrified is everyone saying, Trump's gonna... This is now a matter of how badly Trump is gonna lose. And I just go, this sounds very familiar to a particular point of 4 years ago. And it just... And I know people are saying, like, even correcting for how badly we got 2016 wrong,
yeah,
Trump is still going to lose badly.
Yeah.
And you just kind of go, don't tempt the fates. They ply their threads with wicked, fickle humor. Please.
Yeah, fear of him being reelected has turned us all into like the cowardly guy on Odysseus's ship or like in a fantasy movie. No, do not scorn the orb. Please, Captain, please, throw the treasure in the sea.
I've been reading quite a lot of Greek mythology recently, which is fucking great.
Yeah.
But you always forget just how many disastrous wars and and eternal damnations and ruined lives are because someone didn't burn a lamb's leg to one god. They forgot.
Yeah.
One day.
They literally just forgot.
Like, why is Athena hunting down you and your kin and all your children and their children's children for the end of until the end of time? Oh, I forgot to sacrifice some a lamb chop after this battle. I was too tired and I forgot to sacrifice some lamb. Oh, that doesn't seem very bad. Yeah. My whole life is a living nightmare.
Yeah, I get chased by a snake person now.
But that's the kind of. That's the kind of paranoia I treat the people who are comfortable with Trump losing.
Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah.
This is his kind of whole thing.
His whole thing is kind of coming across as frankly more insane even than Robert Mugabe.
Mm.
Because Robert Mugabe was a very somber man who said mad things in quite a somber way, whereas Donald Trump was going, "Hey, what if I start kissing everyone? Oh, I could probably kiss you all." Have you seen that?
No, I've not seen that.
He's been going on about kissing people. Because that's how immune or whatever he is to coronavirus.
Amazing.
And like just... an emperor who's willing to endanger his own bodyguard doesn't tend to do well, you know? Like coughing on the Secret Service and making them drive him around.
You see his was it the Rose Garden video? Or, I don't know where he is, but the one who he talks about Regeneron,
which I laugh every time someone says the name Regeneron because it's so silly.
It's like an avatar where the amazing mineral they find is
unobtainium. that was a script. Stand-in that never got edited.
Unobtainium.
We'll call it Unobtainium for now. Obviously, we'll make up a better name.
And we'll call it Regeneron. But he starts that video...
Regeneron.
He starts that video by going, "Hi, you might recognize me. It's your favorite president." And you just go, "Oh, he's just fucking around." He's just having a great time.
He's doing like a Troy McClure riff.
It's like when I saw Adam Sandler's Netflix special, and it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, he's been fucking with us this whole time. He knows.
He's been going in films and making $100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 minutes. He's a genius who lives in a castle made of gold. Oh.
Yeah, that's how I feel about Donald Trump in that video. It's like, oh, he's just having a whale of a time.
It's so freaky, man. Mike Pence. What if Donald Trump just suddenly goes and just dies? They'll say he was poisoned by fucking Bill Gates.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. They'll say that pizza parlor got to him.
Whatever. Yeah, they'll say that pizza restaurant finally assassinated him with mind rays.
What are your predictions? Let's do... Because if one of us gets this right...
Okay.
We're going to look amazing in a year.
Yes, that's
in
true.
In 1 year, who's president of the United States? I know my answer. And it's going to... If it comes true, I'm going to look like a fucking oracle.
Okay. In 1 year?
Yeah.
Biden.
Okay.
I reckon.
Okay. I think that's a safe bet. My bet is Kamala Harris is going to be president in 1 year.
You reckon Biden's going to pop his clogs?
Biden's going to win, and he's going to pop his clogs. Or get so... His dementia... Well, actually, I was going to say dementia will get so bad people go, okay, he has to step down, but that hasn't affected the last 4 years, so I don't see why I would...
Or like the Democrats will do that thing where they'll be like, we'll look weak by making our own president step down for dementia, even though the Republicans did really well by not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That constant thing the Democrats always do, which is like, well, though, that would be cheating. And then they just get their pants pulled down over and over again because they refuse to play hardball. I reckon, I mean, I was... The people were saying Minnesota looked like a swing state, and then the Biden campaign was like, we're not going to take away your fracking, which is the only jobs any of you fucking have. Mm-hmm. And they went, okay. So that kind of seems like to kind of stop the bleeding.
Biden's, bleeding?
Like the bleeding of votes in Minnesota. Oh, Minnesota's right. Normally like a Democratic stronghold.
Oh, okay.
But it was looking like a swing state because all the money there outside of, you know, Minneapolis and Duluth or whatever is like fracking.
I saw...
Apparently.
I was watching a comedy / political show that is leaning more and more into the political.
Yeah.
And they showed a video of Joe Biden addressing a letter that had come in. The interviewer saying, Jeanette in Mimsbury, Oklahoma, says, why won't you let us have Uzis?
I've seen this.
And Joe Biden goes, Jeanette, you don't need an Uzi. Buy a shotgun.
Yeah.
Buy a shotgun. Yeah. And then in the studio of this comedy political show, they're like, isn't that fucking crazy? He's telling people to just buy a different gun. And you go, No, he knows what battles he's picking.
Yeah.
Someone with a shotgun is far, far less dangerous than someone with an automatic weapon.
Yeah.
He knows he's not going to get these people to throw away all their guns. He's saying, don't get a mass... Put away your mass murder gun and get a less murder gun.
Well, and also get a gun that is genuinely like an agricultural tool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you can't...
And that if someone is more than 8 feet away, you're not going to kill them instantly.
Yeah, you're not going to definitely turn them into cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, the only part of that clip that is ridiculous is how funny it is that someone could keep repeating the phrase, buy a shotgun, in a reassuring way. Buy, hey, just calm down and buy a shotgun. That's what made me laugh about it. It was like, look, everything's fine. Buy a gun. But yeah.
But for me, it was incredibly smart. I was like,
really smart.
This is very smart. This is so much smarter than saying you don't need a gun to someone who's convinced they must have a gun.
But he was saying it as well about his own family. He was saying like, oh, look, me and whatever, Cindy, my wife, they always have like really ridiculous names, American politicians' wives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Barbara, Cindy. And
uh-huh.
Me and whatever, my wife, we live out in the woods, you know, out in the countryside, and there's a big empty thing and there's no one around. And, you know, my wife, she gets worried as well. And we have a shotgun. And I say to her, when I'm not around, you just go out into the balcony and you fire that thing in the air and anyone who's there will go away.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly the way to talk to these people. So what about home invasion paranoia?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like... Why can't we have Uzis, Mr. Biden? because they're hashtag bad. Like, if you're going, because they're a tool of the military industrial complex, and everyone goes, all right, well, I'm going to put £100 on Trump to win the election.
Exactly.
And if you live in the woods, you probably do need a gun. If I lived in the woods in America, I'd want a fucking gun. Every other fucking lunatic's got guns.
Also,
there's a point where everyone has guns.
Do you know how big America is and how few security cameras there are?
Yeah, it's not London where they go, well, we looked for a minute and we found 800 photographs of the terrorist from 9 angles. Did that stop him using his gun? No. But now we can construct a 3D model of his fucking head. It doesn't even stop them. It's hard to catch them later or to see where you've gone wrong. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I think it was really smart.
Yeah.
Really smart. And good for the shotgun industry, I guess. If I lived in the woods, I'd want a gun.
Would you?
Yes. The police aren't coming.
Okay.
I live at 123 The Woods.
Are you, to what extent are you locking it up? Because you... I'm so annoyed with this late into the podcast. We're only just tapping into your shotgun fantasy. Or your, whatever your gun prep fantasy is.
My love of guns.
Is it? Have you seen that amazing bed that has a shotgun compartment in the head of the bed?
In the roof,
you just push into it, goes, and it falls into your hand.
And then you go, oh!
Yeah.
And you're pointing it at the door. That's a fucking good idea.
Where
maybe not practically.
Where's yours kept? So say you're alone at home, and you just hear a voice. Pierre, no one's coming to
Wait,
help
am I in America or am I in the UK?
America.
Oh, and it's a shotgun.
Whatever gun.
Whatever gun.
You want. Whatever gun you think is safe to have in your house.
If I am in a situation where it's like a pistol and I'm really worried or whatever, it's like bedside drawer.
So you'd have a pistol? Like
if I lived in a really dangerous place.
Like an alcoholic detective. You've got a pistol in your...
In my drawer, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And so I'm going... Yeah,
I do have a gun safe. I wouldn't leave it there all the time.
Right.
Like if I left the house, I wouldn't be like, well, I'll leave that next to...
Okay, so if you leave the house, you put it in the safe.
Yeah. Unloaded and...
Okay, like, so here's a new scenario. You're coming home. You got shopping in your bag. And then you see me. You don't recognize me as me. You see me just in the grasses there. Just Now you've got to run into your house.
Yeah.
And you close the door and sound.
Okay, so I've already run into the house successfully.
Yeah, but I'm. But the walls are not going to hold forever. I'm going to get. And now,
okay.
And now you got to remember your password, the safe.
Yeah, fine.
Okay.
It's like.
I've gotten you by then, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm going to come down the chimney.
Well, then you're going to get me.
Okay.
But it's for when I do have it.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
It's just that thing of going like. Yeah, but what if the car hits your car where the seatbelt doesn't help? And you go, okay, well, I'm dead then, aren't I? Well, I guess I'll die. Okay.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Pierre considers guns the equivalent of seatbelts.
That's right. Buy a shotgun, everyone. Buy a shotgun. That's what I say. I lock it up properly in a gun safe.
Interesting.
But if I still lived in... When I was a child in Johannesburg, if my dad was away, my mum would have a 9mm under the pillow.
Really?
Yes. And another, a 38 Magnum in the
safe.
Like
a badass tooth fairy had been.
Yeah.
That's a prank. You should have replaced it one night with just some money.
The gang tooth fairy. And I will say this, listeners, not under her pillow, so she could go, and shoot herself in the head. Across the other side of the bed, like, ready for, like,
to
get it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, anyway.
Well, good luck with the election, any American listeners. Buy a shotgun and calm down.
Keep on jacking it.
Keep on jacking it.
Just with your hands. Keep the guns away.
Lock your gun away safely in a steel-reinforced gun safe that is chained or attached to the floor or walls of your home. And then jack it.
That's our new full catchphrase, by the way. Everyone has to learn it before the next episode. Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.